qualification on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, peace and salutations of Almighty Allah be upon all of you. Dear friend, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Today we're going to speak about gifts for the deceased.
Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah.
Ya Allah, ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an fi ma sa'ina.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس. يسبق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 4th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we choose some verses of the Holy Quran. Today we choose verses 15 to 17 of chapter Mu'minun.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Thumma innakum ba'da dhalika lamaytun.
Then indeed, after that you are to die.
ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تُبْعَثُونَ.
Then indeed you, on the day of resurrection, will be resurrected.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعَ طَرَائِقَ وَمَا كُنَّا عَنِ الْخَلْقِ غَافِلِينَ.
And we have created above you seven layered heavens, and never have we been of our creation unaware.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In these verses, Allah shows us that death is certain and definite. Here it will be appropriate to mention a part of one of the sermons of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on this subject. His Eminence says, "If there was anyone who could secure a ladder to everlasting life or a way to avoid death, it will Sulaiman ibn Dawood, peace be upon him, who was given control over the jinn and men along with prophethood and a great position before Allah. But when he finished what was his due to sustenance in this world and exhausted his time, the bow of destruction shot him with the arrow of death."
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah.
Now, gifts for the deceased. The famous supplication by the Holy Prophet that we are recommended to recite during the month of Ramadan begins with, "O Allah, instill happiness in the spirits of the inhabitants of the graves," before mentioning the hungry, the poor, the anguished ones. The Holy Prophet wanted to bring our attention towards the deceased ones. The Islamic concept of dua or supplication is not passive, but rather demands us to delve into action if we are sincere with our prayer. Sincere recitation of this verse should lead us to perform good deeds for the dead to instill happiness in their graves, in their afterlife. If we were to ask ourselves who the needy ones are in this world, who demand our help and attention, we will have an endless list. As believers, it is essential that we not only remind ourselves to help and serve those who need us in this world, but also think and look beyond into the dwellers of the worlds that begins after death.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to send gifts to the deceased. Usually, we give gifts to the people who are around us. However, in the Islamic instructions, we find that people are encouraged to send gifts to the deceased beloveds. One of the points in this regard is that, according to, this principle and according to this important notion observable in Islamic practices, we find that doing good cannot be limited to those people who are alive. Rather, doing good can be extended to those people who are no longer in this world. From Islamic instructions, and particularly from the Quranic verses and reliable hadiths, we find that seeking divine forgiveness for the deceased people is a kind of sending gift or doing favor to the deceased people. In the Quranic Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 10, it's indicated, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those people who come after others and say, O people, may you forgive us and our religious brethren who had faith before us. It indicates that true believers seek divine forgiveness not only for themselves but for the deceased beloveds, for the late beloveds.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, the best charity. Yes, the best charity is the title of this part. I invite you to listen to it. Once a companion of the Prophet of Islam called Sa'd has gone to the battlefield outside the city of Medina. On the way, Sa'd heard that his mother, who had been sick, had died. Sa'd, who loved his mother very much, came to the Prophet and said that he had wanted to give charity on his mother's behalf, but it had not been possible for him. He then required if he could give charity on her behalf now that she was dead. Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, replied in the affirmative. Sa'd then went on to inquire what was the best charity he could offer. The Prophet said that on the route to the battlefield, he had seen that the soldiers were thirsty and there was a dire need of water. The Prophet suggested that the best charity was to dig a well on the road so that the caravans would benefit from the supply of water, and it would also be a continuous form of charity for years to come. That was what Sa'd did.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
We are so happy that you are with us. A piece of advice for every Muslim losing a loved one: don't dwell in isolation. It is quite common to be engulfed by grief with the death of a loved one. However, one must not dwell in it much, as this sends an invitation to Shaitan to become misery's company. The ploy is to give your attention to every little thing you have, thinking that this could also be taken away from you. Love brings the love, while regret leads to discontentment. And discontentment should not be felt, most especially to the glorified and exalted Allah. Let the death of a loved be a lesson of detaching from dunya, this world, and to hold Allah in your heart above all others.
Death is by far the most undesirable human experience. Death is also a reality that cannot be changed. Death is also a reality that cannot be delayed or tampered with. As I was preparing this topic, I decided that I was going to visit a graveyard. So I sat in my vehicle, I went to the closest graveyard, I went to the sales office, and I said to them, I'd like to see a list of the most current burials. First they were hesitant, then I explained to them that I'm doing this for the purpose of preparing a lecture. So they gave me a week, a list of 1 week of burials. I took the list, I looked at the list, and once again it was reaffirmed to me that the angel Azrael does not discriminate, does not pick and choose, but he executes the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly. The 5-year-old, the 10-year-old, the 12-year-old, the 30-year-old, the 60-year-old, the 90-year-old, as soon as their calling has occurred, the angel Azrael pays them a visit, and he only visits us once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states within the Holy Quran that we must visit the graveyards, and we must see and witness the graveyards on daily basis. Islamic traditions indicate that the graveyard must be placed right in the downtown and in the center of a city. And if you visit the holy city of Najaf, you find that the graveyard is right in the center of the city. And there is a reason behind that. It's not that they just suddenly decided we're going to put the graveyard right in the middle of the city. It is because when we wake up every morning, we're full of energy, we want to start our day, and we go through the downtown of the city and we see the bodies of the deceased enter the graveyard, being prepared to be washed, being prepared to be prayed upon, being prepared for the burial. We remind ourselves that soon this is going to come to our doors. This fate is going to knock on our doors.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, this episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us listen to a thought-stimulating statement from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him. The tongue is surely the key to every good and evil. You should seal your tongue as you seal your money. The Prophet had said, "May Allah's mercy be upon the faithful believer who withholds his tongue from uttering any evil, for this would be an act of charity by him for his own self, since no one will be saved from committing sins before he seals his tongue."
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another program of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. You know, some people question, why do you cry so much over them? Martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. It has been so many years, you know, it's finished. You know, I've heard some of these people say that, you know, every year you do it. There are many reasons why it should be done every year. But even then, there were those who cried for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam before it even happened. And none more so important than the father of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. It is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. In the tradition, it is mentioned that and the tradition is from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, who mentions that one day Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, along with two of his companions, were passing over a particular land. And as they were passing, the land that they happened to pass was Karbala. It was the land of Iraq. And as they were passing over that particular land, the companions saw that the eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam began filling with tears. And he said to them that this is the resting place of their animals. Whose animals? And the animals of Imam al-Hussein, those camels and horses that brought the family members of Imam Ali alayhi salam to this land. And this is where the luggage shall be laid. Basically, the tent shall be laid here. You know, the things that they brought with them shall be laid here. And then the Imam said, and it is here that their blood shall be shed. This is where, you know, they will be killed, they will be slaughtered. You know, they will be absolutely annihilated. And then the Imam alayhi salam continues and says, blessed are you, O earth, that the blood of the beloved shall be spilled upon you. So here we see that the Imam alayhi salam, mentioning the event of Karbala to two of his companions even before it took place, and saying that no, the earth is a blessed earth, because why? A specific type of blood will be spilt on it in a very vicious manner. Therefore we see that one of the reasons that the earth of Karbala is so important, and it is, you know, a very emphasized mustahab and recommended act to pray upon the earth of Karbala, is because of the blessedness of that earth. We know that the earth itself and places are not equal. And this is one of the reasons why Karbala is so special. The earth is so special is because of the blood that was spilt on it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of those who do the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam fi dunya wal akhirah, in this world and the hereafter, inshaAllah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. And assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of this program. Thank you for having me, brother Mahdi.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program consists of several parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. At first, we are talking about a famous Quran reciter, and then we are going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze
that recitation and then decide all these parts. We are going to have some other Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you throughout the program. So don't go away. On June 18th, 2015, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, said, "The purpose of all this emphasis on reciting the Holy Quran in a good voice, in a beautiful tone, and by observing the requirements, is that the Quranic concepts influence hearts, that we establish a close relationship with the Holy Quran, and that we take a Quranic mold and color. If this is the goal, then it has certain requirements and conventions. The first convention is that a reciter of the Holy Quran should recite the book by believing in the Holy Quran and the concepts that he is reciting. If we do not know what we are reading, if we do not understand the concepts, and if it does not influence us in a deep way, then our recitation will exert little influence on others and on us. This is the first condition." Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mansur al-Shami ad-Dimenhouri. Sheikh Mansur al-Shami ad-Dimenhouri is one of the Egyptian reciters of the Golden Age of Recitation, who appeared exactly at the same era as reciters such as Abdul Fattah Sha'sha'i, Mustafa Ismail, Muhammad Siddiq Minshawi, and Abdul Basit. He was born in 1906 in the city of Dimenhour, in Al-Bahira Governorate. Since his childhood, he began learning the Quran under the care of Ahmad Ghazal. Later, he moved to Tanta in order to learn Quranic sciences. Due to his attractive and pleasant voice, after learning different Quranic sciences, Sheikh Mansur Dimenhouri moved to Alexandria, to the point where he became the director of the Society of Reciters in Alexandria. And he would recite the Quran and offer prayers in Morsi Abul Abbas Mosque in the city. Sheikh Mansur al-Dimenhouri passed away in 1959. May Allah bless his soul. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Mansur al-Shami al-Dimenhouri reciting Surah Muhammad, verses 33 to 36, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and render not vain your deeds. Verily, those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah, then die while they are disbelievers, Allah will not forgive them. So be not weak and ask not for peace while you are having the upper hand. Allah is with you and will never decrease the reward of your good deeds. The life of this world is but play and pastime, but if you believe and fear Allah and avoid evil, He will grant you your wages and will not ask you your wealth.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول ولا تبطلوا أعمالكم إن الذين الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله ثم ماتوا وهم كفار فلن يغفر الله لهم. فلا تهنوا وتدعوا إلى السلم وأنتم الأعلون والله معكم إنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا يؤتكم أجوركم ولا يسألكم أموالكم. صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, verses 33 to 36, recited by Sheikh Mansur al-Shami al-Dimanhuri. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this was a studio recitation, and you all know that studio recitations usually are not as powerful and effective as live recitations because of the feedback that the reciter gets from
the audience
and also the atmosphere, the mood of the recitation is affected by the people that are around you, and you're not feeling alone when you recite the Quran. And we see that this studio recitation was not so powerful. I'm sure if we listen to a live recitation from this reciter, Sheikh Mansur al-Shami al-Dimanhuri, probably his live recitations are a lot better. Let's go over some of the points, the tajweed points.
Good idea.
Ya ayyuha. We have matul munfasil.
Disjunct.
The disjunct mad. It means that you have a long vowel, such as an alif, ya, or wawul mad, followed by a hamza. Okay, but yes, the hamza is in another
word,
in a separate word. It's not in the same word as the long
as the
vowel.
Long vowel, yes.
So that is why we have a matul munfasil, a disjunct mad. And when you have a matul munfasil, you have three options. You could lengthen it to two, which is known as
Qasr
of matul munfasil.
Or normal.
Yeah,
mad.
Just like a matu tabi'i, the natural mad, which is two vowels.
Uh-huh.
Two vowel counts. Then you can lengthen it to, if you want, you can lengthen it to four vowel counts, which is tawassut.
Mm-hmm.
Or five vowel counts, which is fawq tawassut.
Yes.
Okay, but you have to be consistent.
And this is the point.
Mad. Yes. And we see the same thing in this recitation by Sheikh Mansur al-Dimanhuri.
That is actually all these options that you mentioned take place just the first time you come across
Yes, that's right. And we see that the other matul munfasils are lengthened to two vowel counts, just like the first one by Sheikh al-Dimanhuri. For example, amanu ati'u. Amanu ati'u. And tubtilu a'malakum.
all of them are recited with qasr.
Yes, that's right. And another point is the ta. Ta, whenever it has the kasra or ya'ul med, has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'ullah. Ati'ullah. Okay, it's not ati'ullah. You should not
exaggerate
the tafkhim, and also it should not be too high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa la tubtilu. Tubtilu. Again, the ta has a kasra. So just like Sheikh Ad-Dimanhuri pronounced the ta, you have to pronounce it with the lowest level of tafkhim.
And the qalqala of ba.
Yeah.
Is worth mentioning, I think.
Yes, you know, the rule of qalqala is one of the most simple and straightforward rules of tajweed, because all reciters, almost all famous reciters, Egyptian reciters, they observe qalqala. It's almost impossible to find one good reciter of the Quran from Egypt who does not apply qalqala
mm-hmm.
in his recitation. Of course, the last letters, for example, whenever they stop on a word which has a qalqala at the end, yes, that's possible. We might not hear the qalqala for those words. But whenever it's in the middle of the utterance, it's always, they always apply the qalqala.
Mm-hmm. And a final point, brother?
Okay, now, this recitation also had, I think, I would say one mistake in terms of tajweed. He said, antum, almost. This should be ikhfa. Antum, not antum. We should hear the approximation of the letter ta while the nasalization is made for two counts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But he puts the tongue in the place of articulation.
Yeah,
of
it's ta. As though he puts the tongue in the place of articulation of ta.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي اشرح صدري قرآن. When your horse returns to Alcamp Riderless,
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
I did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
أسست أساس الظلم والجار عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمتان دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
Brothers and sisters, in the previous programs, we have discussed the permissibility of la'n, whether in general or on specific people. But regarding this part of the ziyarah, فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَّتَنْ أَسَّسَتْ, may Allah distance from His mercy the community that laid the foundation of wrongdoing against the Ahlul Bayt, it is important to realize that la'n has no time. It knows no time, it knows no place and people. I mean, for those days it was Yazid and his likes, and today it is our duty to decipher and determine those who assimilate his footsteps in this modern world. I mean, you all know we have so many atrocities across the globe. And so what I'm trying to say is that la'n that we express for the past transgressors must not make us oblivious of the present and the future. It should be a stepping stone towards comprehending its universal signification. The Holy Quran, which vocally expresses la'n on the oppressors, for example, is for every time and place. So, we should also invoke the destruction and abandonment of all the contemporary transgressors, promoters of lawlessness, etc. This is because it is with the existence of such people that the human race is facing different kinds of problems and difficulties. Asserting the importance of being aware of the present extensions of evil, the martyr Murtadha Mutahhari, in one of his powerful statements, says, "The Yazid of Imam Hussein alayhi salam's age is dead. You must now decipher the Yazid of your own time."
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is: do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, another aspect of curse to be discussed is whether curse contradicts one's merciful behavior and demeanor or not. The late Gnostic Ayatollah Sayyid Haddad Musavi was once asked about the philosophy of invoking curses in the supplication of Alqama that directly follows Ziyarat Ashura. The questioner asked, are these severe curses that we see in different forms in harmony with the spirit of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who is the school of mercy and love? In response, Ayatollah said, this supplication is entirely for seeking goodness and mercy, although it appears in the form of a curse, but all the curses of Allah or those that have come through the tongue of the Prophet and his infallible progeny are goodness in reality. They are sheer goodness. So these curses are only for the person of the transgressor and not for a God-weary believer who is busy in his work. However much life, health, and power is given to the transgressor and the tyrant, he would employ them in harming his soul and transgressing the bounds of the oppressed. So, restraining his health, restraining his strength and life is repelling harm, and the repulsion of harm in reality is attaining benefit. We must know that life is good for the human being when the human being is the source of good for himself and also others as well. However, if the human being becomes a source of evil and brings about self-transgression and trespassing the vicinity of the human beings, it is not goodness. We cannot term this kind of facilitation as goodness. In this situation, its opposite is goodness. In other words, for such a person, death, illness, destitution is good. And this is because of the fact that we should consider the spirit of the actions as well, and not just see them at a superficial level. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM. This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in gharl mojza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World, and of course, as I say, who changed all our tomorrows. The program is dedicated to the great soul of Imam Khomeini. May God be pleased with him. And, of course, we have been discussing in the last three programs different aspects of his personality. We've been looking at the sources as to what formed those characteristics, those virtues in this great personality, and how he has shaped not only the events, the historic and epic events in what happened in the Islamic Republic and the formation of the Islamic Republic. Of course, these are separate issues that need to be discussed later on at length as to the actual events of what of the Islamic Revolution that took place here. But of course, Imam himself said that this is an Islamic Revolution. An Islamic Revolution means that this is a complete reformation of our understanding of not only the religion of Islam, but our understanding of God. And it was not only for Muslims, but it was for non-Muslims as well and for the people of the book. And we are going to look into aspects in this program about the Imam, which defined his divine characteristics. And, you know, we've discussed with our guest, Dr. Hassani, on this program about simplicity, virtues of honesty, and looking at purity of intention and will and determination. And we also talked about this divine courage which stems from faith. So first of all, I'd like to welcome Dr. Hassani again to the program to help me discuss these wonderful attributes of the Imam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great. Thank you for being on the program. Dr. Hassani, take us a little bit further now on this aspect of purity of intention, sincerity.